We take a look at some of the week's top news from around Wisconsin. Governor Evers is proposing that the state help revamp a Madison event center. The protected status of gray wolves may soon be changing again, and the results are in from last night's U.S. Cheese Championship. Robert Metzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Well, let's take a look at Governor Evers' budget. Not the budget we've already heard about, but the capital budget, the building stuff budget. One thing he's asked for is a $30 million boost to help redevelop the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. It's a big event facility. Here's the governor talking about that a little bit.
We're making this investment because many of the venue users have outgrown the facility, and many of the prospective users are opting out for other venues with that have adequate space and amenities located outside of the state of Wisconsin. We have to stop that.
So, Rob, talk a little more about state support for this project.
Right. So the $30 million that Governor Evers proposed for this Alliant Energy Center project, I think a thing to know is that that's actually quite a small share of what is a very large and sweeping redevelopment plan from proposed by Dane County. So the Alliant Energy Center is owned by Dane County, and it's an important place in Madison for sure, and an economic driver for that city. But it also is a place that people from all over the state have some relation to. You know, they do big events at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum there, and the facility is a gathering space for state events or shows and exhibitions. It's a whole campus with green space and everything. And so the larger redevelopment project proposed by this Dane County Oversight Committee, all in all, costs $305 million in the first phase in some public and some private, a lot of private funding as well. So this state share would go toward expanding the exhibition hall, really with the idea of making more of a convention center space to try to attract, as the governor said in that clip, attract more conventions and trade organizations and such.
Now, this capital budget is kind of budget part two. It's not usually the one that gets as much attention as the one the governor delivered in his address not too long ago. Is it, though, Rob, news? Is this something that we should be picking apart here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. The same basic principle applies, right? The governor has put forward his priorities and projects that he would like to see built across the state. This is one very big and notable project. Overall, the capital budget is really big. It's like $2.5 billion. And Republican leaders, right away, as soon as it was released, balked at that amount. And, you know, it's too much new spending. So we can, like, assume this will be one more thing that they will fight about and bargain about through the process. But it is still significant, that this is what the governor's putting forward. This is where he sees a priority for him. I have no special insight into whether the Alliant Energy Center project specifically is going to end up being a bargaining chip or whether it will actually go through. I don't know how the next few months will go, but it is one of the highest profile parts of this capital budget. And so that's significant.
Moving on to an issue that's been a long running controversy here in Wisconsin and at the federal level, Rob, this week, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said it would propose a rule to delist the gray wolf from the endangered species list. So taking the gray wolf off the list. This has been a long back and forth. What was their reasoning for this proposal?
Well, so scientifically, gray wolves are hard to count, but all the scientific estimates say that the size of the herd has rebounded significantly. And just in Wisconsin, there are about 900 wolves now, according to scientists. In the year 2000, there were 204. That went to something like 700 in 2010. So, I mean, that is a pretty dramatic increase over time in the wolf population. Those are just Wisconsin numbers. This is a federal proposal, but the same basic pattern holds. And so this has led the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, at least in their announcement, that they will seek this policy, that they will seek to delist the gray wolf, to sort of like declare victory. They want to say this shows the success of our conservation efforts. And in the same way that bald eagles today, the population is actually quite healthy, which was not always the case. They say, you know, now we're at a point where the gray wolf population is in a good place.
There's been a lot of back and forth on this, efforts to delist, challenges in courts. We're not going to untangle all of that now. Republican Representative Sean Duffy has made this delisting a big issue. What are some of the big arguments, the top arguments on either side here, Rob?
Well, so an important argument for delisting in favor of taking them off the endangered species list is that people in the Northwoods of Wisconsin say that they experience, like, that they brush up against wolves in ways that can be dangerous. They say that wolves, you know, endanger or kill their livestock. You live up in the North Woods and your dog is running around, and they are afraid that they're at risk there. On the anti side, I mean, I think a lot of the opposition comes from the fact, it is not a hypothetical situation, it is a fact that delisting the gray wolf will trigger, make it allowed to hunt. There will be a wolf hunt in Wisconsin. There has been as recently as a few years ago, when there was a period of time when the wolf was off the endangered species list. And I think that a lot of people, that seems wrong. And I think that's one of the primary arguments against delisting.
Talking to Rob Metzer, statewide living and storytelling editor at USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of the week's news from around the state. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Rob Metzer of USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of this week's top news stories from around the state. Rob, salt and then some cheese. Cities have had to use a lot of salt on the roads this winter, or mainly this half of the winter. And we hear this story in Cudahy, taking steps to store more of it by building a new facility. What's going on there?
Well, so yeah, this is like a south suburb of Milwaukee, and they're having a big fight about this at the city council. Some people do not want the new salt dome, or they said it was too expensive, and this is in the way of local politics. This has become a flashpoint. I don't know. I couldn't say whether Cudahy needs a new salt dome or not, but it does raise, as you say, the very big, significant issue across Wisconsin for municipalities about sort of how do you manage the many tons of salt that are required to get through a Wisconsin winter, and how do you predict when you're going to have a winter like this one where it snows every other day. This is like a real issue for municipalities to manage.
Right. You underbuy, then obviously you run out of salt partway through. You overbuy, you waste it, and it's hard to store unless you have something like a salt dome. It is a tough high wire act for local governments.
Yeah, so another story from this week, Appleton just found out that it will not be able to resupply salt until sometime in the spring. So the city there had to announce that they're only going to salt main roadways, bridges, some hills. According to reporting from the Appleton Post-Crescent, the city ordered more than 4,000 tons of salt for this winter, and they were only delivered 2,500 tons. So it's sort of they got a little bit of a raw deal there. But cities are looking at alternatives, right? So you and I can use sand maybe on our driveways or whatever, sidewalks, but cities can't really do that in large quantities because it clogs up storm sewers. And it's a tightrope to walk, and there are a lot of there are alternatives that exist. Oftentimes they're more expensive than just plain old rock salt.
Right. There are also, in addition to the cost and storage issues, there are environmental concerns of using too much salt. What kind of alternatives are some governments using?
Yeah, for sure. Salt is corrosive. It can do damage to roads and cars. It dumps chlorides into the water. So every once in a while you'll see reporting on the attempts. You know, in Minnesota they use byproducts of beets, sort of beet juice on roads. In Wisconsin, yes, it is true. Some places have experimented with using cheese brine.
Right.
This is the most Wisconsin solution and therefore the best. But it comes down to cost, right? So in general, places that are using these sorts of alternatives are doing them to supplement rock salt rather than take the place of it, because rock salt is what they move in giant tons and store under giant domes, and that's like what everyone's sort of set up to do.
And speaking of setups, Rob, you gave me a great segue there. You mentioned cheese, and instead of putting cheese products on the road, the biennial United States Cheese Championship was bringing some of the best cheeses from around the country to Green Bay. 10 of the 20 finalists were from Wisconsin. What was the competition like here, Rob?
It looked like a good time to me. My colleagues were out there at Lambeau Field following the several days of the competition there. So, you know, first of all, you know, congratulations or whatever to the national winner, which was Gugisberg cheese, which unfortunately is an Ohio cheese, but I am a charitable, I'm a generous person. I don't hold that against them. I give them their congratulations, but it was a baby Swiss. It was declared the best cheese in the nation. But Wisconsin had a good showing. Wisconsin had first place in 58 out of 116 categories.
Wow.
Which, if my math is correct, I believe that's half.
I did the same calculation.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I think it checks out. And swept the top three places in 23 of those categories, first, second, third. That's a good accomplishment. And former national champion and a pretty well-known cheesemaker in Wisconsin, Marika, the cheese is Marika Gouda from Thorpe, won the second and third place awards, and she makes some. Her Gouda is her specialty. She has her own herd of cows that produce the milk she uses. There's a lot of attention to detail, and so she's. I heard that those are ones to check out.
Rob, in the interest of cutting edge investigative journalism, what do you think? You and I, we double check the results here by tasting all cheeses involved. I think the public demands it.
I think it should be done. So just to get this in here, a thing to know about this particular competition is very technical. It's all based on, you know, the judges are like food scientists. So it's all based on like objective measures, texture and stuff. And so that's how they're measuring what is technically the best. But there are critics out there among cheese lovers who say that it's entirely too technical and that in fact it tends toward, it sort of eliminates like an aesthetically risky or interesting or flavorful winner. So again, this is something we need to like investigate. We got to check this out.
All right. We'll start this weekend. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us as always.
All right. Thank you.
That's Rob Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us each week at this time for our Wisconsin News Roundup.